Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now we are joined in studio by News Talk's political correspondent Sean Defoe and by Sinead Carroll, editor of thejournal.ie, to assess how the candidates fared in our earlier debate. Sean, what do you think?
Yeah, it was a good debate. It was interesting. I thought it was probably the most lively, or one of the most lively to date anyway. You got them on a few questions that people hadn't seen before. The 130 acres in Phoenix Park around the Oris as well, which I don't think either of them had thought about in any sort of depth. And it's interesting because we were just talking off air about this, and you're looking at who had the most or least to gain, and obviously Heather Humphreys is sort of behind. I thought this was definitely her strongest performance to date. She was kind of going at Catherine Connolly, but had a few good answers and good riposts to some of your questions, and yet there were pretty major missteps by her as well in some of her answers with regard to Trump. I thought she was quite poor at Gaza as well, and in
her
particular,
her answer about Trump was Trump is Trump.
Trump is kind of Trump, you know.
Yeah,
which
something
is,
I would
wasn't
have thought
like,
she
was it?
Would have more depth to it, given it was quite an obvious question that was going to come up throughout the campaign. How are you going to deal with
I had another line of questioning which I never got to, which is about, you know, the Catherine Connolly's hesitation about a rapist in the Oris. And, you know, if Trump arrived, if you don't want sexual offenders in the Oris, what would you do?
Yeah, and I think there, for a lot of people listening, they need to be convinced to vote for one candidate or the other because there's so many undecideds. And I think with Heather, for some people, her heft, her intellectual heft or her knowledge of world affairs needed to be stronger. And I think on the Gaza question, like, you know, that she's happy mothers have kids in their beds. Like, if you look at any, you know, images of Gaza right now, that's not what's happening.
But
and
also,
Trump,
what beds? What beds are they in? And secondly, if the war had been stopped by Trump when he could have in January, how many more children would be alive to be in whatever bed they could find? And that's their questions which lie unresolved.
Yeah, so some of those like big international ones, again, that's a good way of putting it, I think, Sinead, does she have that depth to her to be stateswoman on the world stage? That really didn't come across. The most interesting 10 minutes, I thought, and I was interested that she gave it the full 10 minutes, was about the woman that Catherine Connolly hired. And that was definitely where Heather Humphreys kind of scored the most points and had a few good lines. I know she was talking about when Catherine Connolly was talking about Eamon O'Queeve, she said, well, he doesn't do Garda clearance. You wouldn't hire a bank robber to rob a bank or to run a bank, was what she was saying. And again, it comes down to the sort of two questions I had noted that Catherine Connolly keeps on avoiding giving you a direct answer to. One, it was the what Heather asked, what happened with the guns, or what was she going to do?
What would you be doing with two guns and a stun gun and ties to,
and all the other accoutrements that were in that particular vehicle? So she hasn't given a direct answer on that. And also when it came to her work as a barrister and representing banks in particular, it's just somewhere she's not, doesn't appear to want to give a straight answer to, and is going
nowhere. The reason she doesn't want to give a straight answer, I think, is because her social media campaign is strong. There's obviously savvy people in her team who know that, and they don't want a clippable answer. Did you work for the banks on repossessions? Yes.
Like, so, and it's a very simple
question. It's a very simple answer.
And I have to give full credit to Jack Organ-Jones. He pursued her at that doorstop, wherever it happened. And the rest of the journalists were obviously quite happy to let him do the heavy lifting on it, because he wouldn't let go. Mm. And at the end of the day, he said, it's a yes or no answer. Which is it? Yes or no? And she still wouldn't answer.
Yeah, which means, you know, we all know what that means.
Yes.
And we all know that the avoiding is, you know, the power of social media and what that could be used by the opposition to put out that message. On the questions around the IRGE member and signing her in every day, I think that she was very calm at the start of that questioning, but there was just a little bit where she was not as unflappable as usual, because, you know, she didn't have an answer of, you know, what was she going to do with that paraphernalia? Like, in what way has she been rehabilitated? Like, is she still, like, you know, against the peace process? Where does she stand on those things? So I think listeners of your show will still have questions around that.
Can I give you some of the comments from listeners to give you an idea? The inability of Catherine Connolly to answer a question is...
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
To get to be president, wait for the next general election where the far left may get into power and they will do a reverse Trump. This is the idea that all she wants to do is be president when there's a left-wing government in power. And then, but I don't.
I'm not entirely sure that's going to happen. Certainly not hard left anyway.
Heather is unbearable and sadly Catherine is not coming across well. I don't want either of them to represent Ireland. Neither of them are worthy of being president of Ireland. The worst two that could be left in the race. Another one, I will be spoiling my vote. Neither are good enough to represent our country as president. The only voice I have, therefore, is a spoiled vote. Heather Humphreys just said she abhors animal cruelty, yet 3 weeks ago she defended fox hunting, at best inconsistent, at worst hypocritical. If I'm really honest, I wish we had two more options on candidates. I'm afraid neither Catherine Connolly nor Heather Humphreys convince me that they would make an ideal president. It's looking like it will be a coin toss for me on voting day. That's from Carmel. That's Heather. That's your opinion on Trump. You just lost my vote, says John. I'm voting for Jim Gavin, says James.
I think that coin toss, Carmel, who says this is a coin toss, I think she's describing a good portion of that 30-something percent that are undecided. And so when they're listening into debates like this, I think Catherine Connolly was very aware of the audience she had, Pat, that she had your audience, that she had to be very calm and try to answer some of the concerns people would have. I thought she was excellent on the Council of State questions and what she would do if legislation comes to her desk that, you know, she mightn't have agreed with as a parliamentarian. But I think after that, then she started to not perform as strongly because of the questions around the irony.
But even in terms of the Council of State, you know, she as a barrister would be perfectly equipped to look at legislation and decide, irrespective of what the Council of State says, with all its eminences on board, which way to go. As for Heather, she would take the advice of the Council of State because she doesn't have a legal expertise.
And something we were saying, a few of us who were watching the debate in a green room, because it was the first time in this debate that Heather Humphreys has actually leaned into her ministerial experience. And at the start, when Catherine Connolly said, well, she's the government candidate, and she said, yes, I was a minister. I didn't have the joys of being in opposition, able to say what I want. And I brought in hot school meals and I brought in auto enrolment. But then she didn't go on to use that in a question like that. Well, your clear answer, I would have thought, is, well, I've spent 10 years, 14 years drawing up legislation in a department. I'm well across this brief, well able to make my own decisions and judgments on it.
She was definitely rusty in the first debate on Virgin Media with Kieran Cuddihy. Less rusty on Sunday, less rusty today, but there's still a little bit of, like, the Donald Trump question. That was like an answer, pub chat answer to, you know, that someone would give if they haven't really followed the news over the last few weeks and they're trying to, like, come up with something more clever.
So for a question that was so predictable. Do you know what I mean? Like, of course, at some point in the campaign, you're going to be asked about
Trump. Pat was predictable, but
for anything, but you know what I mean? A Trump question.
Instead of asking a question that would be honed, like, what do you think of Trump and Gaza, or just what do you think of Trump? Because that really puts it to them. We're talking about Trump the man, Trump the president, Trump the anything. Let's hear what you think.
And left her enough rope to, in this case, herself because she gave a very
poor
answer.
And with the presidency, voters want to know a little bit about the personality of the candidate. You know, do they have that star quality that you want in the Oris? But also, do they have the knowledge and the intellect and intelligence that you need to do the job, which ranges from, you know, opening park benches to meeting heads of state? So that's the... It's a very unusual thing to ask voters to do. And because there's only two candidates, it's very hard to be as impressive as you need to be over a full hour. Like, imagine, Pat, you had seven like we've had before.
Yeah.
The idea of hiding is a lot easier. No. The idea of impressing is a lot easier, whereas it's actually very intense for two people. I think for your listeners, I think a lot of them will remember Catherine Connolly's calling Claire Daly and Mick Wallace respected parliamentarians. And she did try and shift her answer a little bit now by saying, like, back then. But I think that will stick with a lot of people too.
She has a way of answering questions whereby she smiles, this wintry smile, and pauses, gives herself thinking time.
Yeah.
Because people rarely, interviewers rarely interrupt a smile like that. You know, they don't jump on it for fear of being utterly aggressive.
Yeah.
And that gives her that couple of seconds of thinking time.
A little bit. And then she usually has an answer around the context of the question, or, you know, kind of a student debating thing almost, of picking out the
premise of the question. May I say? Yeah.
Well, of course, it's crucial to the question to also understand, and goes into something more prepared. I think, as you put
generally, an article of the Constitution.
Yes.
Yeah.
As you put it in the debate, has a great ability not to answer the question. And she actually had a decent enough answer to that, I thought. But other people have accused me of answering questions too openly and directly. But look, I thought, if you're trying to pick a winner here, and I don't think it's a clear, like, this person lost, this person won. I don't think it was that kind of a debate. But in terms of, like, did Catherine Connolly do enough today to expand her pool of voters, or did she just appeal to her base? I think probably the latter. Heather Humphreys had her strongest performance today,
now,
even though there were a few nitpicks.
If you take the last, the Red Sea poll, which gave 36% to Catherine Connolly, Heather Humphreys 25%, then there's 12% for Jim, which may or may not actually end up on the ballot paper, because there'll be people who don't tune in and they'll go along if they decide, I must vote. Is today voting day? And I have that card that came through the letterbox. I'll go and vote. And they see Jim. Would they know that Jim was definitely out, and that they think, a lot of people think, that if you vote for Jim, you're spoiling a vote? You are not.
No.
It gets counted, and his transfers, etc.
Even also, though news avoidance is at a high, I don't think you could avoid Jim Gavin dropping out of the presidential race, no matter how much you try and bury your head in the sand of no.
But will
news.
People will Fianna Fáil people decide to vote to try and get the money back that they've spent
maybe.
So far?
I don't know, is there enough of them in order to do that? But also, never underestimate pure divilment as well.
I think
people will go
in divilment, and also, the act of voting makes people feel good, and you want, most people who vote want to vote for the act of voting as much as to get the candidate that they want through, whether it's in a local, a general, or a presidency. We know from the numbers, and we know from people like your listeners texting, that there's a certain cohort of people who aren't into either candidate. So if you're really stumped going in, you don't want to spoil your vote, and you don't want either of the candidates who are still campaigning, I do think there's an option that people will take, but I don't think it's going to be on significant numbers. Mm. And more than likely, those people will put a two as well somewhere. So, yeah, it does muddy the waters a bit for polling and stuff. And I can't wait to see a poll without, like, I know Jim
without
Gavin.
Without Jim Gavin, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Jim Gavin will still have to be there, but it will be good to see a poll without him, and maybe then with him in it as well.
This text, and it resonates with me. Shocking that in a country with 5 million people, these two are the best candidates. Not going to bother voting for the first time ever. Back last November. Shocking in a country of 300 million people that these two are the only candidates, you know, for the American election.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, what are we doing wrong? Is the fundamentals of getting through the council route, getting through the Oireachtas route to get onto the paper, is that the best we can do?
I still think there should be a relatively high bar to have to run for president, because you get all sorts of loonies otherwise. But it's the nature of this campaign. Look at how it tears at you. It's already done for one candidate in Jim Gavin over what was, let's be honest, a relatively small amount of money from a dark time in his life 16 years ago that ultimately has tainted his reputation as the 5 in a row winning manager. And now every single parking ticket and question you have is going to come up about you. Who in their right mind would want their own reputation dragged through that mud?
Now, I don't think the Jim Gavin thing would have been fatal if his campaign had been going better.
No.
But for me, it's a lack of preparedness. Like, we have known for basically 14 years that this election was coming up in October 2025. It's a lack of preparedness across the board. The coalition of the parties backing Catherine Connolly has been an amazing success. Like, particularly because there was a lack of preparedness, especially on the side of Sinn Féin. You know, they'd only decided on the 20th of September. But the lack of preparedness from the other parties, I think, is the unforgivable thing about this campaign. Like, we've known for so long. And fair enough, Micheál Martin didn't want, you know, the media to get their teeth into the candidate too quickly. But there's a happy medium there in politics that should have been
last question.
Out.
Did the dial move at all this morning?
I think Heather Humphreys probably overall maybe would have attracted a few middle of ground voters, but she also made, I thought, a very big misstep in the Lucy O'Farrell answer, and particularly your point that it put to her of the sorry if, and I think that's going to haunt her.
Yeah, I don't think Catherine Connolly would have moved the needle on any body who wanted to, you know, decide which way they were going. But I don't think Heather did either. So I think they remain undecided.
Okay, very good. Sean Defoe and Sinead Carroll, thank you very much for joining us. Sean, our political correspondent, and Sinead Carroll, editor of thejournal.ie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.